This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're going to hear from Kirby Smart coming up in just a few minutes. Also, we're going to talk about the College Football Playoff Committee and what they decided the rankings should be last night, whether or not you agree with them in our dog report. Before we get there, though, Mike, couple of things. Allegedly, a Super Mario movie may be in the works. And we were just talking off air about this. You know, I'm a big Marvel guy. They do a lot of the filming here. As a matter of fact, a few weeks ago, they shut down literally 14th Street, where we work on Peachtree.
Latest Avengers, yeah.
Yeah, to do a lot of filming. And I think Marvel's done a really good job of developing these movies and keeping interest. Not so much for DC. And I told you, I didn't like the Superman movie.
Yeah, I was just reading the reviews are out, and they're not good for the Justice League. Matter of fact, they're killing it. And they're saying it's just a big misguided mess. We were just talking about everything Carl just touched on. Marvel, you know, whether it's the Tony Stark character bringing everything together and bringing everything in. You just got likable personalities, and there's humor. You know, there's action, there's drama, and there's humor. And they don't get the humor aspect of it over there at DC. So anyway, this thing's getting killed. So, and there's no Superman in this one either, by the way.
Okay.
And no, guess what? Can we just say what it is? Nobody buys Ben Affleck as Batman.
Well, I didn't when they did it. I really didn't.
You need Christian Bale, and he already made his money. He was done with that. And Christopher Nolan ain't making these movies.
No, and Nolan, I thought he did the best job of making these Batman movies. Obviously, this goes back, right, to the 80s, early 90s when they were making Batman, and you kept switching guys to play the role. But, yeah, man, I thought Christian Bale did an amazing job with it. But you were just mentioning this, and I think they had the premiere last night, and you were like, have you seen it? Or are you going to see it?
I just read 5 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes from all the major critics, and they're killing it. So, not good. But, again, fanboys go see what fanboys like.
No doubt. You go see it. If you're a DC guy, you're going to go check it out.
Yes, I can't wait to see Aquaman. By the way, you might have needed Iron Man and the Hulk to beat Auburn last Saturday out there in Auburn. Man, Georgia Falls about where I think everyone expected them to be. Basically the same spot they were in the coaches in the AP poll.
Number 7 in this week's college football poll. You know, I pointed this out when we started the show, what this playoff committee said when they got rolling, what they were going to be looking for in the 4 best teams. Now, you know, this doesn't just apply at the end of the year. It also applies to right now when you start going, well, why is this team ahead of this team? And they told us, Mike, that the 4 teams would be based on the body of work, strength of schedule, head-to-head results, comparison of results against common opponents, championships won, which we haven't gotten to. That's the championship game. And remember, they put a big emphasis on that. That's why we think if the Dogs went out and win the championship game, they're going to be in. And then they also said other factors, which that's the part where everybody kind of scratches their head. Either way, any complaints about this? My only thing is I thought Miami would be 2, not 3, and it's Clemson, Miami, and then the Oklahoma Sooners.
Well, Clemson has a bad loss to Syracuse. I mean, it's still on their record. I mean, I don't expect them to fall out of the top 4 or anything, but I mean, I still would have put Miami because Miami now has some wins back-to-back over ranked opponents. They beat the number 3 team in the country, and they smoked them in Notre Dame. So I would think Miami should be ahead of Clemson. Regardless, if you're a Miami fan, handle your business against UVA at home, then Pittsburgh on the road, and then it's the ACC Championship where you'll play Clemson. So problem solved. Oklahoma, I think you could argue Oklahoma 3 or 4. Oklahoma's playing the best football now. And that's also part of the, you know, let's be honest, part of the equation
it
now.
Is.
I mean, Alabama doesn't get any love from Florida State, but they're still number 1.
ACC is going to be in.
Oh, yeah.
SEC is going to be in. I don't know if the Big Ten, Pac-12.
Well, Oklahoma right now, as it stands, TCU wins the tiebreaker over Oklahoma. Everyone plays everybody round robin, but the championship game would be a rematch of TCU and Oklahoma.
Yeah, and if OU loses, Big 12 is not going to make it. I'm just telling you, what I know right now, just based on these rankings and over the next 3 weeks, no matter how it plays out with Miami or Clemson or Alabama, Auburn or Georgia, the ACC is going to be in, and the SEC is going to be in. What team, we don't know. Can't say that for the Big Ten. Definitely can't say it for the Pac-12. And the Big 12 right now, to me, is a question mark. Yes, OU, they hold their own destiny, but, Mike, you know, crazier things have happened.
Yeah, the thing is about Wisconsin, and obviously, you know, Wisconsin is going to probably beat Michigan this week. We'll see. Maybe Michigan will have some up their sleeve for them. They got to go to Camp Randall. But then Wisconsin will turn around and play Ohio State in that championship game. Ohio State right now is the leader, 6-1 in the conference. Michigan State, Penn State, both 5-2. Can the Badgers handle the Buckeyes? Otherwise, because if they do, then yeah, then they deserve to be in that Final Four. But I think much like the year Michigan State went, they're not getting out of the semis.
I don't think so either. By the way, OU, they beat Ohio State on the road. They beat Oklahoma State on the road. They beat TCU last week at home, but they lost to a very good Iowa State team that already has beaten a couple of top 10 teams this season. So that's why Oklahoma is in there. If you're going, well, I know there's better one-loss teams. No, Oklahoma is deserving to be in there, as Mike said. They're playing great football. Hey, as far as the Dogs are concerned, they got to switch gears here, Mike, and focus on Kentucky. Let's hear from Kirby Smart talking about playing Kentucky.
I think Mark Stoops is a really good head coach. He's done a tremendous job up there. The energy and enthusiasm in that game last year when we played up there was incredible to me. It's not really how I remembered it when I was here before as a player.
So can they get focused? Kirby says that, listen, they're not changing anything. You don't overreact when you lose this way, and I couldn't agree with him more.
You got to really focus on the things you didn't do well and the things you do. But that, it's not any difference after a loss or a win, because after every win, we've come in here and said we got to refocus and recenter on the new opponent, the new team, and not let that carry over. It's no different this time.
So, Mike, you ask me, I will ask you, and I will ask you, our listeners. How tough is the task after you get kicked in the face the way they did against Auburn to get refocused? And everybody says it's easy. I hope the Dogs come out and smash Kentucky. I do. Well, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
Kentucky doesn't have the horses, obviously, that Auburn has. Not even close. They do have a 1,000-yard rusher in Benny Snell, who's the real deal. He's going to have a chance in the NFL. But they don't have the things that that Auburn brought to the table. It's just a matter, really, of Kirby playing pocket psychologist, right? Armchair psychologist, whatever that metaphor or prefix is for psychologist, you got to be as a coach. They got to take care of the guys' heads, get the heads right, and then hopefully they come out there and they just put a whooping on these guys and they don't sweat Kentucky. But Kentucky's 7-3, feeling pretty good about themselves.
Yeah, they are better than a lot of people giving them credit for. I'll say this too, you know, and I'm not going to tell you that Auburn didn't deserve to win. They did. The defense was amazing. But guys, plain and simple, penalties killed the Dogs. I mean, there were three penalties mm-hmm. that cost you arguably the game.
Dumb ones. And dumb.
Absolutely.
Undisciplined special teams, which is always, unfortunately, a Georgia problem, whether it's Richter or Kirby as the head coach.
Well, it's a good point, Mike. 7 for 75 yards, all right, in that game against Auburn. Killed you. That's the most penalties that the Dogs have had since 2015. That's when they played Bama. They lost that game as well. It was 38-10. And that's the last time they've had that many penalties in an SEC game. Against that Bama squad in 2015, they had 8 for 82 yards. You're not gonna win games when you're playing really good teams and you're shooting yourself in the foot. My point is, take those penalties out of the equation, play better, more sound, you'll be fine. But if you're making those penalties against Kentucky, you're gonna put yourself in a situation where you're fighting all day, and you don't want to do that.
Hey, man, a guy's been doing a fantastic job and glad that he stuck around. Roquan Smith has been nominated for the Bronco Nagurski Award. Also up there for that is Bradley Chubb, Nick Chubb's cousin, who's been just stomping people's guts out for NC State this year. But some accolades and obviously a lot of hardware probably going to wind up in the Butts Mirror building based on how much of star power you've seen for Georgia. Hey, by the way, flip it over to Auburn for a minute.
Yeah, man.
Kerryon Johnson, Heisman, why not?
He's a beast.
15 touchdowns.
Beast.
Coming into his own, he's got a chance to pad the stats. Now, the overall rushing yards aren't there necessarily, but, man, coming on late and maybe with more eyeballs on him now than early in the season, why not a guy to get an, it certainly deserving maybe of an invite to New York?
Well, invite, certainly. I still have Baker Mayfield as the guy right now based on what he's done statistically, just off the charts. But, yeah, man, and you know what? Again, remember the Dogs were like top three in the country against the run going into that game, and he ran through them.
Right.
So, yeah, man, I definitely would give him a nod. Hey, as we talk about the Dogs, we go on the sidelines with the Dogs each and every day, brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
Yeah, man, BrightBox loves the Dogs and the Jackets, too. Give them a call, 770-901-2500, whether you want to put that man cave together, just want home security, home monitoring. Again, 770-901-2500, BrightBoxServices.com, a cool rake.
You talked about Kentucky's running game. Let's hear what Kirby has to say about their stout running game.
They're physical. Our kids talked last year about that was the most physical game they played in. From a defensive standpoint, because it was so much grinding and hitting, and they pride themselves on that. So it'll be a great challenge for us when we didn't stop the run real well last week. We're getting an opportunity this week to play a team that is hell-bent on running the ball.
Mike, it is seniors' last home game. Mm-hmm. It's always big. It's always important. And Kirby did make note of that as well, talking about his seniors winning at home.
It is important to the senior class that they finish it off the right way. They want to be one of the first teams to win the SEC East and beat everybody on the East. That's a first for them. Chance to go undefeated at home, which hadn't happened since, 2012 or 2011. They want to be able to do those things and earmark, especially after last year's home schedule. That's important to them. I wouldn't say it was a written down goal of any kind, but it's important to the senior class we do it the right way.
You know, it's going to be really cool to see where Sony Michel and Nick Chubb and you take your pick. You know, we've talked about so many guys on that defense which are going to have a shot now, and how many guys are going to be, you know, first-round picks in the right. NFL draft, or at least certainly in the first two. But, you know, after a year where nobody from Georgia, save for Isaiah McKenzie, got drafted, this is going to be a year in the NFL draft where you're going to see a lot of Georgia players going.
I think this is going to be the trend, especially with the way they're recruiting. If they can continue to develop players, especially up front. Guys, you will know when Georgia's taking that turn, when Georgia's consistently putting offensive and defensive linemen in the NFL. Because that's when you know that you're winning up front. Interesting, we talked about the attitude and how to move on. Jed Blazevich talked about it, too, from this Auburn game.
Now it's up to us to, you know, spin into a positive and learn and grow from it. I mean, it'll only be a failure if we don't grow from it. And obviously we have lots of things that we need to fix and we need to continue to improve. But once again, we don't have the luxury of time. I mean, we got Kentucky, so that's where our head's at. And it's tough sometimes, but you just got to watch that game and go on to the next one because they'll be here before we know it.
So the thing for Georgia, get your head right, take care of business, and, of course, don't slip up against Georgia Tech as well as Bobby Dodd after Thanksgiving. But, yeah, I think for the seniors, I think the seniors go out in style, maybe close early, and then Georgia does its thing. And then hopefully Georgia will have another crack at Auburn because right now I don't think there's anybody, even the most, you know, hardcore Alabama fan, who is a little nervous about what Auburn's going to bring to the Iron Bowl.
Yeah.
And they can run the table and then be right there to take on Georgia in a rematch. And can Chaney come up with a better plan?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I'd love to see it, Mike. We talked about it. I know Alabama fans – you know, they want to see Alabama in this thing, and maybe Alabama will. I will tell you this, for fans who saw the rankings come out last night, and they go, where's Alabama's quality win? They don't have one. It was supposed to be Florida State, but they played the schedule that's been in front of them, guys. And when you're unbeaten, you know, it's one of these deals where you look at it and you go, all right, Alabama's still got to play Auburn. They still potentially have to play Georgia. They've got some obstacles in front of them. We will see how this thing plays out. But I think the playoff committee did a really good job of setting it up, Mike, to see all these teams that still have to match up against each other.
Mercer, the Bears, stand in Alabama's way. It's Monroe for Auburn before these guys match up in the Iron Bowl. One more SEC nugget for you. You might have heard Mike Conte mention the update. Brett Bielema probably on the hot seat for sure.
Yep.
Jeff Long, the athletic director, is gone. So the athletic director for the Razorbacks is out. Brett Bielema, 29-32 in Fayetteville, 11-27 in the SEC. And there's no way he's going to hold on to that gig. So think about it, Carl. Florida, Tennessee, Arkansas, perhaps Texas A&M with Kevin Sumlin. Who's going to land the big fish? Because this is SEC. Are we going to see some new young faces? Are we going to see established names? Where are these programs going to go for the next coach?
I think Tennessee needs an established guy who knows what he's doing. I think Florida can go get an offensive-minded guy to re-energize the fan base to say, hey, we're going to be throwing it around and having a good time like we have here in the past. And maybe you see some fresh faces. Maybe, you know, maybe at Arkansas, maybe Tennessee or Texas A&M, if Sumlin loses his job. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. You could also see all these programs getting to a bidding war for a couple of guys that everybody's clamoring for. And well, that's for these coaches that are going to be available, mm-hmm. that's a great thing.
You think Charlie Strong is back in the mix? I mean, after 1 year at USF, I know that it didn't work out in Texas. Does that tarnish his brand? Because he's a guy that everybody still thinks so highly of.
No, because people in college football know he got a raw deal. Let's be honest. I think Charlie Strong, if he ends up leaving and going back to the SEC, it would make sense. Remember his time at Florida, recruiting for Urban Meyer. He knows how to recruit the SEC players. It's something he did at Texas for a limited time, and now he's back in Florida.
I just wonder if Willie Taggart has buyer's remorse on going to Oregon. You know, because, you know, Charlie Strong inherited the program that's really, you know, ready-made and rocking and rolling. For those who remember, Willie Taggart takes over Oregon, and Oregon is still trying to find its way. And Willie Taggart, who also recruits Florida so well, the idea of him going to the Gators or any of the SEC schools might have been something. I don't know. I mean, Oregon's paying him a fortune, too, though. He can't complain.
No, I mean, listen, timing's everything, man. We talk about it all the time. You stay a year, four SEC jobs open. You stay 2 years too long, you get fired.
All right, and by the way, we talked about this earlier with John and Rick in the 2 o'clock hour. Jimbo Fisher, 15-12, his last 27 games as head coach of Florida State. And now Florida State fans not fretting as much as they would have 2 years ago when LSU was sniffing around Jimbo Fisher.
You want him out of there, don't you?
No, I just want his coaches. I want Jimbo to stay, but I want Charles Kelly to go. How hard is that? How hard is that?
It's hard when coaches don't listen to fans.
Don't be loyal to a dumbass. Get rid of him.
Hey, man, we're going to give you a chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to see the Atlanta Hawks take on Toronto on Saturday, November 25th. We'll give you that opportunity coming up here in the next couple of hours. Stay tuned. And also, when we come back, we're going to talk to our man, D. Orlando Ledbetter.
What's up with Julio?
Coming up, we're going to talk to D. Orlando Ledbetter. Earlier in the show, Mike and I were talking about our stadium. And listen, we love Mercedes-Benz. It's great. State of the art. But Steve Hummer wrote an article in the AJC today talking about is it too good? And that, you know, we've yet to become that intimidating home field for our Falcons. And I'm specifically, guys, talking about the Falcons because, Mike, you said you watched it back on DVR. Let's just take the Cowboys game, for example, and you're looking around and you're going, people in the concourse hanging out, checking out all the amenities.
Yeah, there's a lot of empty seats because a lot of people are putting their tickets up on the secondary market to recoup their personal seat license investment. So everybody's basically there for the first or second time. So to your point, taking it all in, and as Steve Hummer wrote, kind of a pub crawl. Speaking of Steve, one of his colleagues at the AJC joins us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline, our man, D. Orlando Ledbetter. What's up, brother?
Hey, greetings, Carl and Mike. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, man. And by the way, for those who have not seen it, real quick, I retweeted it at Put 'Em Up, C. Dukes. Julio on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Looks like a superhero. You seen this picture yet?
I have not. I was looking forward to getting that when I was got home today. I know Jim Trotter's been in town about three or four times working on it. So, yeah, looking forward to reading that.
All right, man, go check it out. Julio looks real cool on the cover. D, let's talk about first what we learned in this Cowboy game, and then we're going to look ahead to Seattle on Monday night. By far, was this their best performance of the season, in your opinion?
Oh, quite, yes, no question about it. They put together a whole game, nearly a whole game. It wasn't a perfect game, but, you know, they took it to them for four quarters. Were in control the whole time. You know, and I guess just a big mess up was the one Vic Beasley jumping off sides on the interception there. You got to eliminate that. But certainly was their best game, and, you know, heck, they needed it. And maybe it's good enough to turn around the whole season.
Well, as we said, do your job. You know, offensive line doing its job, and obviously Claiborne taking advantage of a left tackle situation. The shame on the Cowboys for not addressing either with help or moving their quarterback around in the pocket, right?
Yeah, no question about it. But, I mean, that's what you do in this league when you, you know, you're a good team. You take advantage of it. You know, they didn't do that against Buffalo. They didn't do it against Miami, and it caused them a problem. So, you know, they put it together and were able to go out and, you know, take advantage of left tackle not being there, and they shut down Alford Morris in the run game.
D. Orlando Ledbetter on the WadeFord.com hotline covers the Falcons on a daily basis for the AJC. As far as the offense, what do you think the fundamental difference was? Because I thought the turning point for all the sacks and Adrian Claiborne, we come out in the third quarter and we go down the field and score, and we hadn't been able to do that, D.
Yeah, it was the first third quarter touchdown of the year. Big conversion on that drive. You know, Julio's catch going out of bounds was certainly big. And after that, it was like, okay, we've seen this before. This mm-hmm. is how they've been rolling in the past. And also the quick game part of it. You know, they speeded things up at times and went to no huddle and attacked the Cowboys and got them tired. You know, they looked like the 2008 Falcons out there with Mike Mularkey and the no huddle attack.
And that's the thing. Matt's always more comfortable in the no huddle. I also think Sarkisian, to your point, D., great play calling, you know, using Taylor Gabriel at the right down and distance, getting guys like Hardy involved. I mean, to me, there was more rhyme and reason and better flow to the play calls.
Well, yeah, it looks better when they catch the ball too, Mike.
And block.
Yeah, he can't catch it for him. But, yeah, you had guys springing open, which we saw a lot of last year. Certainly the Hardy play was a bam play where it was like, oh, okay. Boom, there he is, touchdown back in the end zone. Gabriel on his 15-yard reverse, you know that picks everybody up when you're getting it by chunks. Coleman on a 19-yard run to start the third quarter. You know, that's a good positive vibe that spreads around the team from them chunk plays. And, you know, they just give you some positive energy and you're able to put some stuff together, and that's what they were doing. against the Cowboys.
All right, D, let's first ask you about what you think is going to be the situation with Devontae Freeman. Coach Quinn, I heard him say Monday that, you know, he's not going to count him out until they tell him. Do you think we'll have Free on Monday night?
No, we're not going to have him, Carl. This is his third concussion since then. I haven't counted up the months, but, you know, November 15th, that's, 20-something months, three concussions. And the last one, he was out for 2 weeks. And, coach is just, doing this coach speak thing. He wants Seattle to prepare for Freeman. And, I hate it because I know he's not going to play. And people have leaked out to other media that he's not going to play. But we only use sources in the AJC and the people on record are talking to back it up. So, you know, somebody in his camp has already put him down. Mm-hmm. Somebody on the team has already told folks he's not going to play, but the coach didn't get that memo and looks to be off the page on that because he wants Seattle to prepare for Devontae Freeman. When he's pretty, he knows he's not going to play unless there's a football miracle. And sometimes there are some football healing miracles. I know Reggie White used to talk to God and have his hamstring healed all the time, and we would think he would be out. So I got to report what the coach is saying. And then, you know, what actually happens, we got to report that too. So, you know, I, as far as a fan and counting on Freeman for this game, I wouldn't be counting on him playing.
Well, we love the guy. I mean, one of our favorites is dear Orlando Ledbetter joins us, him and Free. And the thing with Free is, I don't know if he does he go to the new, that Vickis impact helmet, which some guys are using around the league. Do they? I mean, D, they can't really change his running style. I mean, they gave him a contract for the kind of physical way he runs the ball.
Yeah, but he's a little dude. I don't know how much that helmet helped. I mean, I know I talked to Schrader about the helmet. I talked to some doctors, and they said no helmet's going to stop you from getting a concussion. Just maybe makes you a little bit more at ease and gives you a little bit more cushion. So I don't, you know, that's what the doctors tell me about the helmet. So, but, you know, the other coaching staff said he was a third down scat back. They didn't run in between the tackles. Coach Quinn and them running between the tackles and, you know, have had a lot of success with it. But he's a little dude. He's getting popped. So, I mean, the concussions are coming. You know, I don't know if you, you know, go back to the third down notion with him as a scat back and throw him the ball like Cutter and Smitty did. Or, you know, you just run him, you know, until his career is over and hopefully he doesn't have the problems that a lot of the old running backs have had, you know, Tony Dorsett and so forth back in the day.
D. Orlando Ledbetter, our guest here on the WadeFord.com hotline, talking some Falcons with D. Falcon Report coming up at 5. We'll talk about the NFL in our Blitz segment coming up in about 10 minutes. Hey, all right, D, let's talk about Seattle and what you know about Seattle. We just talked to one of their guys up there, and he was saying they're having a tough time protecting Russell Wilson, but, you know, the other part of it is they're having a tough time running the football consistently.
Yeah, they're running around just playing playground ball pretty much, Carl, but it's working out for them because Russell's so good at it, and the receivers are great at the scramble rules. You know, Paul Richardson and our guy Doug Baldwin out there have been making plays for Russell when, he pulled out that Arizona game with the playground, stop at the stoplight type deal. But, yeah, they're trying. They're working on it. Our guy Tom Cable's the O-line coach out there. They put a lot of faith in him that he'd be able to whip those guys into a line, and that just hasn't happened. They brought up Mike Davis from Stevenson High in South Carolina to the roster. They've already tried five different running backs. They might get Chris Carson back. Yeah, it's just been a mess over there with regards to their running game. It's all been on Russell running around and making plays.
Well, we'll see Dwight Freeney, who hit the ground running. We were talking to Bob Condotta from the Seattle Times, and yeah, man, had a bunch of sacks the other night. So we'll see Free. We'll see Jimmy Graham, our old nemesis at tight end. So I like the nastiness in this rivalry, D, over the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one, kind of when Seattle started their climb was after they got beat by the Falcons in 2013. The Falcons, lost to Kaepernick and the Niners that year with, 6 yards to go to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And, they knocked Seattle out the playoffs last year. Falcons are 4-4 up in Seattle, although Seattle is 10-5 overall in the regular season matchups. But, yeah, you got the two coaches on the sideline and some of the players that have been going up against each other for a while now.
Well, D, we look forward to seeing what's going to happen on Monday night. And, of course, you can read D. Orlando Ledbetter at the AJC and AJC.com. By the way, man, loving the Bowtie Chronicles. You're doing a really good job with that.
Hey, I appreciate that, Kyle. I really do. And thank you and the people who are downloading and subscribing it.
All right, man. Have fun out in Seattle, big man.
All right. Take care, Mike and Kyle. Have a good one.
That's our man, D. Orlando Ledbetter, the former president of the Football Writers Association of America.
All right. You listen, and you know, he's right about Coach Quinn. We don't want to say a guy's playing if he's not, or if he's not going to play until the coach says so. But D's right. I mean, and Mike and I talked about this Monday, and I said for his long-term health, maybe you shut him down for a little bit longer, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, you're invested in the man. I mean, you're not going to be a team that's going to go to the Super Bowl without Devontae Freeman making plays. It's going to be on Tevin Coleman now, obviously, a guy that has shown he can run between the tackles. We saw that at times last year, but just how many touches. Teron Ward, obviously, will get a little action in this game as well.
Check out College Football Game Time, presented by Bud Light at McCray's Tavern in Midtown. Randy McMichael, John Chuckery, and John Fricke, broadcasting live from 11 to 3. Talking all things college football, guys. That's Saturday from 11 to 3 at McCray's Tavern in Midtown. Hey, we're going to talk about what's going on in the NFL in just a moment. I want to give you a chance to win some Hawks tickets, so stay tuned. We're going to give you a chance
Hawks
to win
tickets.
Yeah, family four pack of tickets to see the Hawks take on Toronto, Mike, Saturday, November 25th.
Maybe you'll see Drake.
Who?
Drake.
Oh.
He's from Toronto.
Yeah,
Toronto
Drake.
Teams.
I got you. Hey, NFL Blitz, guys, brought to you by our friends at Cobb County Kia. Go to CobbCountyKia.com and check out the 2017 Kia Sorento. All right, man. Bills have replaced Tyrod Taylor. A little bit of a surprise, I guess. What's the thinking behind this?
That he ain't good? Look, Tyrod Taylor's a guy that when he's got some time to throw and you're giving him some, you know, some weapons around him, you know, he's put up some decent numbers. It's just tough because, you know, if you were going to go down this road, why didn't you try to move Tyrod Taylor in the offseason?
Right.
You know, if this was, I mean, I know that Sean McDermott maybe want to get a full year or at least a longer time with him to see what this guy could do. He's barely thrown for over 3,000 yards in his career. He's hit 20 touchdowns once. Again, he was a backup in Baltimore behind Flacco before he finally got a shot with Buffalo. But they're moving on to Nathan Peterman.
Who?
The former Pittsburgh quarterback guy who took over for Savage at Pitt.
He play?
Well, he got a touchdown in some garbage time after the Saints had built up a ridiculous lead. He had a quarterback rating of 33 and changed at Tyrod Taylor. So, no, I'm not saying it wasn't overdue, but, I mean, a lot of people were saying in Buffalo, is this really the guy for the job, and why didn't you maybe move on to trying to find another quarterback sooner? You know, as in, like, draft one.
Yeah, listen, he came here, he played well. It didn't make sense to me if you're not going to roll
with
him.
I like
the
guy. He plays in spurts. You know, he's like Eli in that sense. He can get on a hot streak, he can make things happen. But, you know, also in his defense, he's a new coaching staff came in as well.
All right, we'll see where that goes. The Chargers are hopeful that Philip Rivers will be able to play after admitting to the team, that he's going to be in the concussion protocol. I don't think that he is. That was after Sunday's loss to the Jags. We just talked to D. Orlando Ledbetter about Free. Mike and I were having a conversation off air, as we do frequently, about this.
The show within the show.
Listen, and just bringing it home, the Philip Rivers thing, it's kind of a wait and see. But for Free, Mike, there's a lot of things at play here. Okay, he just got a brand new deal. You mentioned that. This is not a guy that they signed for that amount of money for third down specialty back.
Look, he's 25, okay? And we're not – I mean, and then we were just talking during the break, Arthur and you and I, I mean, with Luke Kuechly. I think Carolina fans always kind of hold their breath, and that's a contact position where he plays at linebacker, where he's taking hits, you know, night in, night out. In the case of Free, I mean, he's a real physical runner. That's why I mentioned Warwick Dunn yesterday. Warwick was a guy that was, you know, speedy for his size and also able to kind of always seem to slide and avoid the big hit. And as I said, the helmet, as D. Orlando Ledbetter told us, I mean, yeah, the helmets are better than some of these guys are wearing, but they're still not preventing concussions. So, I mean, it's just something they're going to have to monitor because you're talking about this guy's quality of life. Three concussions in less than a year. That's scary stuff, man.
No doubt. And I don't care who you are. I'm 6'5". I'm running full speed. You're 5'11". You're running full speed. We hit head on. It's going to be an issue.
Yeah, and Devontae, 5'9", like we love this guy's spirit. We know he's tough as nails. I mean, no one questions this guy's
heart. I gave him two more inches.
Yes, please.
I mean, in shoes, I mean, spikes, I gave him two more inches.
I'm 5'10" now? Thanks, I'll take that.
I'm just trying to make him bigger than he is. That's all I'm saying.
But I'm just saying that we don't want – I mean, by the way, we're not trying to be all like – you know, because some guys – we say it and you guys hear it. Oh, man, they're saying freeze done. No, we're not saying that. We're just saying that the Falcons got to be really careful in this situation because this Falcons offensive engine doesn't run without free being a huge part of it. Period.
It is what it is. Hey, some other news. Dak Prescott says the Cowboys have to win. Must win against Philly. They play Sunday night, I believe it is, the Cowboys.
It's in Dallas, right?
Yeah, after we beat them here. So he's saying it's a must win for them looking at the standings. The Redskins lost two more starters for the season. Running back Rob Kelly and linebacker.
Fantasy killer.
And linebacker Will Compton, both on the IR on Tuesday. So two more starters gone for the Redskins. And here's a big story, Mike, and then we'll move on to some other stuff. Papa John's apologizing. A little bit too late?
What's he apologizing for?
Well, 2 weeks after the founder and CEO basically questioned the league's leadership for handling of the players' protest during the national anthem. And now they've come out, and I think it was a Twitter apology. Is that correct, AT?
Yes, they sent out three tweets from the company yesterday, not necessarily from the owner, John Slaughter.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it kind of backfired, his comments, that is, because a lot of other pizza companies, even DiGiorno's, even took some shots at his company. They were like, check your pizza. Maybe there's something wrong with the pizza.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's
you like DiGiorno's, by the way?
Never had it, never will.
What? Yeah, no, not Papa John's, but DiGiorno's.
No, dude, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, no, okay. All right.
But Domino's, man, Carl, thin crust. But no, in the case of, you know, and then there's always Vinny's, of course, we got a neighborhood spot. But no, I mean, I get, like, here's the thing. If you're going to make a statement that you feel that the NFL is shooting itself in the foot with the way they're handling the anthem, stick your guns.
Stand by it.
Don't sit here and don't be Jerry Jones' mouthpiece and see your stock drop and then you crap your pants and go, but I mean, because now you're going to tick off the veterans. So now you're now guess what? Now you're in no man's land. Congratulations, Papa John's PR nightmare.
Yeah, I saw the apology or the attempt at it, and I think one of the tweets read something to the effect of, you know, there's a way to do this, right? And either way, what was the first day lost? Like 70 million? Something like that?
It was a chunk. The stock went down and sales were down.
All I know is I'm just saying I probably would have apologized a few weeks ago. let's not be fake here.
But
I would have been like, apologize immediately.
But here's the thing. This is a total disrespect to America, but what I meant was, I mean, you know,
right.
You got on your soapbox and you got off your soapbox pretty quick.
As a matter of fact, DiGiorno said in response on Twitter, better pizza, better sales.
No, by the way, somebody want to hit us up on this on the Salmon Brothers Diamond Text? I've never done DiGiorno's. People seem to like it.
Oh, it's good, man. Yeah. Really? You guys have never gone to the grocery store and bought
it? Back in the day.
Really?
Back when I didn't have money.
Midtown. I live in Midtown. Why am I going to the grocery store?
But you go to the grocery store, don't you?
Yeah, I get my chicken wings and I walk out the door.
So that's all that's in the fridge?
Yes, chicken wings and celery. That's my diet right now. Chicken wings and celery.
So it's good. It is. It's good. Right. I mean, I've tried probably over the years a variety of those box frozen pizzas from the grocery store, mm-hmm. just, you know, depending on what the situation was. But yeah, man, they do a good job. Plus, they have the rising crust pizza. I don't know if that really helps or not.
So do you crack a beer and you watch the pizza in the oven through the window? I mean, what do you?
No, I will say this, though, Mike. Okay? When your kids have friends over and you don't want to order 25 pizzas, you go to the grocery store,
all right,
like people in the burbs, and you get box pizzas and you cook them.
I guess there's Domino's.
Because that's what the oven in the kitchen
Arthur,
is for.
I guess there's Domino's endorsement. It'll just be a Mike Bell alone. But anyway, yes, I would prefer my Domino's. And don't forget, Domino's brings you the Falcon Report coming up in just minutes. Hey, man. No, I get it. You. I don't have kids, dude. I am the kid.
But even without kids, I've had box pizzas. I mean, y'all acting like you're a little bougie up in here. I'm just saying.
No, when I was a little kid, my mom, there was Elio's frozen pizza. It was like cardboard. It was the worst.
What was the pizza? And AT, I don't even know if you've had this. You can still get it. It's maybe like, I don't know, $1.50.
Totino's.
Oh, it's the best. Totino's is the best. Have you had that?
Again, guys, I'm a proud supporter.
Exactly.
And a spokesperson for Domino's.
Hey, y'all see, y'all hear this, right?
Domino's.com. Again, guys.
Y'all hear this.
Large three-topping pizza, $7.99, carry out only.
Brian, you like Totino's?
No, I got to go past that. But I do like DiGiorno. You know DiGiorno, what? I'm in on DiGiorno.
Turn your mic off. I'm done with you, too. Hey, man, we'll come back. Falcon Report next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.